Welcome to the ULM Forum. I'm Jay Curtis. My guest today, the Associate Dean of the College of Pharmacy here at the University of Louisiana at Monroe, Dr. Lisa Lawrence. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Glad to have you with us today. Looking a little bit at what's been going on new in the College of Pharmacy, we've had a lot of attention for the College of Education's redesign of the curriculum, but pharmacy's also been engaged in that kind of redesign recently. Tell us about it.
Yeah, about 5 years ago, we realized that we were approaching pharmacy education based on disciplines, pharmacology, pharmaceutics, medicinal chemistry, pharmacy administration. And the students were saying, that's great, but we really want to focus on patient care. That's what we're going to do when we get out of here. And so we took student feedback from focus groups and talking with students, worked with the faculty, looked at the national scene of pharmacy education, and put together a plan to actually redesign our curriculum based on being integrated modular curriculum so that it's really patient-based or patient-centered curriculum. And we rolled that curriculum out in 2009, in addition to requiring now instead of a two-year pre-pharmacy, we have 3-year pre-pharmacy, which then feeds into our new redesigned curriculum, a 4-year professional program.
Through that kind of redesign, it does take a little longer to get through school with a pharmacy degree, but when you are finished, you're a lot better equipped.
Yes. Well, the new curriculum redesign, actually, it was 4 years before. It's still 4 years, but we just repackaged that. In that process, another year was added to the pre-pharmacy curriculum just to get the basic pharmaceutical sciences in. So the students are starting a pharmacy education around the country. Many programs have gone to a 3-year or more hours required to get into pharmacy school just to keep up with the amount of information. But we do make it's very patient-centered. And the fourth year is actually what we call an experiential year. It's a year of rotation. So the students have 3 years of didactic in the professional program, and then they go out into the community, into institutions, and they work with our partner, our LSU Health Science Centers here in Monroe, in Shreveport, and in Baton Rouge, and they will work with our faculty, and they will go and they will actually do rotations with faculty members or preceptors. So that last year is very dynamic, and they get to go out and actually, they go out in the community and actually experience pharmacy.
So what does it mean for the students to have a curriculum that is more patient-focused?
Because pharmacy has evolved so much, it's not about dispensing medications. It's really about medication therapy management. It's about understanding the patient, how medications are going to work. And I think the public perception is that you drop off your prescription at the pharmacy and then you go pick it up and, there you go. That was it. I mean, pharmacy transaction over. And I tell my students, your name is on that bottle. Does that patient know who you are? And so we try to go with that of looking at the transaction, the relationship with you, with a patient and a pharmacist actually begins when the patient picks the prescription up from the pharmacy. That's the beginning of a relationship. And so our students are very educated and skilled at understanding that they need to talk to their patients. They need to understand everything about their patient's medication history, about what the current medications they're taking, their over-the-counter medications, what foods they're eating, what they're drinking. So many things about a person's life. So it's not about just medication treating a particular part of the body. It's about the entire patient. And so our students are very involved in developing that relationship. And I really hope the public understands that when you pick up your prescription from the pharmacy, that's the beginning of your relationship with a pharmacist. And our students are trained to do that.
That's good to hear. You mentioned a phrase, medication therapy management. Tell us, how is that changing what ULM How is ULM using that?
Well, on the national scope, it's a major thing with medication therapy management as far as what we're doing with patient care. What we're talking about is we're following patients. We're looking at how patients are taking their medications, what's happening, especially with chronic conditions such as diabetes or with asthma. So that is, and actually a lot of independent pharmacists out there are engaged in medication therapy management. Insurance companies are beginning to reimburse or reimbursing for medication therapy management. We have found in our research that for every $1 invested in having a pharmacist, an intervention with a pharmacist, for every $1 you would spend on the pharmacist, you can save over $17 in medication therapy that is inappropriate, either the wrong dose or something that a savings to the healthcare community, the patient or the provider. of that or the payer of that medication. You can save money if you will engage the services of pharmacists in medication therapy management.
So could I make an observation that maybe things are moving in a way back to the time when you think of doctors making house calls and having that deep relationship, and the pharmacist was the person that you went with any kinds of questions about your medication?
Absolutely, because you may have several physicians, but you want to have one pharmacist. And I'm always amazed when someone comes to me and they say, oh, I'm having a problem with this or this or this. I'll say, who is your pharmacist? And they'll name a store. They'll give me a store name. Then that's your pharmacy. That's where you got your prescription. Who is your pharmacist? Oh, I don't know. I said, so therefore you have to back up and ask. Everyone needs a pharmacist. If you're taking any prescription medication, you need a pharmacist involved in your life. I'm amazed that we'll pay for someone to tell us, a physical trainer to tell us how many push-ups to do. Why wouldn't you have a pharmacist on your healthcare team, on your wellness team? Somebody, if you're taking, or especially if you have a child with asthma or diabetes, a pharmacist on board, just in general, that you're working with on a routine basis, where you know your pharmacist, you're calling your pharmacist with questions, you're meeting with your pharmacist periodically, and you actually have a relationship. That's what it's really about, a relationship with your pharmacist.
So what are some examples of how medication therapy management has helped a patient?
Well, we're doing some things. We have some demonstration projects that we've done with Louisiana Medicaid population. And our pharmacists have contacted, they follow patients in the Medicaid program. They'll contact them at home. They call them periodically. They work with them. They talk about their medication. And we have great success with this program because we've had people that, you know, they go home with this medication maybe for asthma. I know we have a 60-year-old grandmother who couldn't walk to the mailbox because of her asthma symptoms or asthma condition. And our pharmacist started working with this lady. And within a few months, she's walking for exercise 3 times a week. And those are the types of success stories. We had a high school student who, great athlete, but couldn't play basketball because of her asthma condition. And after just having some follow-ups, talking with her pharmacist, following up at home, talking about what's triggering your asthma. When you mentioned house calls, that's very, very important for the pharmacist to understand, what are your living conditions? Are there pets in the house, for example? And after participating in our program, this student is now playing high school basketball. Her dreams are coming true because she has engaged the services of a pharmacist, or a pharmacist has actually taken time to follow up with her.
And that's impact is what it is.
It's impact. It's very positive impact in our community. There are pharmacies on every corner. Every pharmacy has a pharmacist on board. They have a pharmacist in charge. There are pharmacists. They're accessible. You can go and you can talk to pharmacists. But you have to ask, there's so many, you know, what are you actually getting out of this relationship? There's so many opportunities out there to ask the questions of pharmacists.
So how are pharmacists involved in some of the research on the academic side, research into things like medication therapy management?
Well, we talk about outcomes research. I know we have basic pharmaceutical science research we talk about in our graduate program, but also we have in our graduate program, we have outcomes research. And that's where we look at large patient populations who may have taken different types of medication over time. And we'll look at the claims data and we'll do retrospective analysis. We'll go in and we'll look at maybe 30,000 patients who took these maybe 3 different types of medications. What were the success of the medications, success or failure rates of the medications, what happened to these patients. That helps us make more informed decisions about, it's not necessarily about what's the newest thing coming out on the market, what's the most expensive thing coming out on the market. It's really about what medications are working best with certain types of populations. And we call that outcomes research. MTM programs, you can take a clinic setting. For example, we're setting up a clinic with a local healthcare agency where we have patients coming in and start screening them for certain conditions, maybe blood glucose, or looking at different conditions that these patients may be suffering from, and look at some screening data and then record that data and work with those patients over time and then look at the impact of not only the pharmacist intervention, but look at the impact of different medications in conjunction with their physician, with the healthcare provider, and seeing what's happening and following that patient and recording that data so we can look at the impact. So that's another form of outcomes research that we would do through medication therapy management.
You talk about the relationship between patients and the pharmacist. I think it's exciting to see students getting even more involved in that as students before they're out there practicing in the field. And you've even got students who are out in high schools now. educating.
Yes, we do. As part of our introductory pharmacy practice experience, we have students, as soon as they come on board in our professional program in their first, second, or third year. But in those first 3 years, we're engaging students more in going out and promoting pharmacy. We have a very nice canned presentation, and the students are required in their, we call it IPPE, their introductory pharmacy practice experience, to go to high schools. Because I've found here, even locally, going into a high school, a biology or chemistry honors class, and I've asked students, how many here are planning to be a pharmacist? And no hands go up. And I think, wow, ULM, College of Pharmacy, right here in your back door.
Down the street, right.
I mean, you can go through this program. You're guaranteed when you come out of pharmacy school, you're going to have a job. Your choice is not to find a job. It's who you're going to go with, because you're being recruited heavily. And the starting salary for pharmacists now is over $115,000 a year. I mean, we're talking over $55 an hour. So it's a great career. And so when I walk into high schools, even locally, and we don't get a lot of interaction, it concerns me. So now we've put this into our program, and Dr. Laurel Andrews is the coordinator of the IPPE, and what she's doing is she's requiring her students, they'll go out and they will make presentations using this presentation form that we've put together. Nice. It's a very, very nice professional presentation, but they'll go out to high schools and make this presentation, and then wear their white lab coats, and they'll talk about pharmacy as a profession. There's a lot of misconception about what pharmacists do. And so in high schools, let students know if they want to go into pharmacy, they need to make that decision coming out of high school, choosing which college they're going to go to, university. I mean, I always say look at the college within the university when you're making that decision. How is that college funded in that area? Or you're making the decision to the university that you want to attend. So those students in high school need to know right up front, which university am I going to go to that has the college that I need to get the skills that I need to be in pharmacy school. And when they make the decision, they need to know coming into the university setting that their GPA is critical, because we do have a process of admissions, and there are criteria that you have to meet. It's on our website, but our incoming GPA is 2.75 for actually applying to the College of Pharmacy in the new 3-year pharmacy curriculum. It used to be 3.0. We went to the 3-year pre-pharmacy. You have to at least have a 2.75. We also have a PCAT score, which is a national test that you take, and that just helps us standardize students across different schools. But high school students need to know coming out of high school into the university setting, if they want to go to pharmacy, their GPA is critical. They need at least a C in every pre-pharmacy required course so that they can apply for pharmacy school. Now, incoming students do have an average of 3.6 is the average of incoming pharmacy students. But students need to keep in mind, if they meet the minimum requirements for pharmacy school, there's also an interview process that they're involved in if they apply to pharmacy school. So if they meet those minimum requirements, don't let 3.6 or anything like that, because you mean that's an average. If you want to go to pharmacy school, you meet the minimum requirements. You go through this process, apply for pharmacy school. Come for the interview. If you're invited to do the interview, come. Don't let some fear factor or you don't determine that you're not going to make it in because somebody comes to you and says, oh, you know, you have a 3.2. You know what? You may be the perfect person for pharmacy school. And we interview you and we see that and we hear your passion and you have the minimum requirements. You have a good shot. Let us determine whether you're going to come into pharmacy school based on the interview in addition to your minimum requirements. Let us be the one to say that, you know, you're going to come to pharmacy school. Don't you decide, no, I've got all these requirements, but I don't have a 3.6, so I'm not going to apply. You don't want to do that. So go ahead, and if you meet the minimum requirements for our program, look at our website, apply for pharmacy school.
And I think it's amazing to see how the profession of pharmacy has broadened into so many more different kinds of things you can do as a pharmacist.
Yes, there are academic pharmacy, there's institutional pharmacy, we're talking about community pharmacy, chain pharmacy. If you want to be a professor and you want to teach in pharmacy school, we have some people who go out and they work in retail or they work in hospital pharmacy. They may do a residency. They come back and they teach in pharmacy school. They do research. They get a PhD. There are so many opportunities in pharmacy. So if you like chemistry, you like biology, but most of all, if you like patient care, pharmacy may be the career for you.
Dr. Lisa Lawrence is the Associate Dean of the College of Pharmacy here at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. Thanks so much for being my guest today.
Okay, thank you.
Comments or questions about the show can be emailed to woodard@ulm.edu or send them to ULM Forum, care of KEDM Public Radio, 250 Stubbs Hall, 401 Bayou Drive, Monroe, Louisiana, 71209. Podcasts of the ULM Forum are available online at kedm.org in the listening room.